the pastor, Kim Hyun-ju, is give us a message titled Elroy, the God Who Sees. Let's give him a big hand. Thank you for welcoming me to this church. I'm so happy to see you all again. And I'm glad that this special exchange between students have started again, and I thank God for that. It has been 28 years since this special program started, and in 2 years it'll be 30 years. I'm so thankful. And it has been 20 years since I started participating in this program when I became the pastor of my church. And thank you for welcoming us every time we come here. And especially, thank you for praying for our new building, and also thank you for your offerings to our church building. I'm so happy to be able to worship together with you, with all these high school students. And what's that, the theme of our camp this year? Eat our God's Word. Eat God's Word. Or digest God's Word. Now let us listen to God's message today. The main text today is about the discord in Abraham's family. Abraham's wife Sarai persuaded her female slave Hagar to sleep with her husband. And Sarai persecuted the slave Hagar. And Hagar could not endure the persecution and fled into the wilderness. Why did such discord occur? It happened because they could not wait for God's timing. Lord God promised Abraham a child and descendants. Genesis chapters 12 through 15 show that God promised Abraham descendants three times. And Abraham believed that promise. That's what the Bible says. And Abraham thought that he will have a child very soon. But he didn't have a child for a long time. If we look at today's passage, verse 3 says, 10 years had passed since Abraham had lived in the land of Canaan. Abraham was 85 years old and Sarai was 75 years old. How much Abraham and Sarai must have longed for a son to be given to them. Especially since God himself had directly promised it. Yet there was no news. No matter how much Abraham believed in God, when he saw himself growing old, he must have felt exasperated. But looking at the Bible, his wife Sarai seems to have been even more exasperated and impatient. And what did they do? Sarai gave her Egyptian slave Hagar to her husband to bear a son. This became the cause of the discord. They tried to solve the problem in their own way, unable to wait for God's timing. Even though God has certainly made a promise, they made the wrong choice to overturn it with human thoughts and interpretations. Even though God has certainly made a promise, they made the wrong choice to overturn it. Sarai must have doubted. Even though God promised, there are some things he cannot do. She might have thought, months and years are passing like this, and my body's aging. It's too late now. That's maybe what she thought. And this is what verse 2 says. She said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. This is how they made a wrong choice, an unfaithful choice. The cause of unhappiness. That was the cause of unhappiness. You know, we all have to believe the word of God as is, and we have to be patient, and we have to wait. And I want you to remember that God's timing is perfectly accurate, neither too early nor too late. He answers and fulfills at the precise and appropriate time. So the conflict between the two women began. Let's look at verse 4 in today's passage. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. The word despised is in Hebrew is kalal, which means to look down upon, to scorn. Hagar became so proud that she forgot the fact that she was Sarai's slave. She acted as if she were Abraham's real wife. How arrogant. So she was very arrogant at that time. And Sarai did not remain silent. Let's look at verse 6 in today's passage. "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. It says Sarai mistreated Hagar. And the word in Hebrew is ana, which means to oppress or to trouble. Hagar could not endure the bullying and fled into the wilderness. Interestingly, the word Hagar means fugitive. All of this was a result of trying to solve the problem by human means, unable to wait for God's timing. So that's how this unhappiness happened. We must not change or overturn God's word and promises with human thoughts or interpretations. We need to believe in God, as God says. We need to become people of faith who can believe the word as is and be patient and wait. Through today's word, there is a part we must definitely remember. Another part that is important to remember. The fact that God did not only grant special favor to Abraham's family, but also extended the same favor to Hagar, a lowly slave who was driven out into the wilderness. God is not one who loves only certain people, bestows favors only on them, or gives help only to them. He's not like that. God is one who also sees the pain of a lowly slave who was oppressed by her master and driven out, and bestows favor. The Lord God that we believe in shows no partiality. He is a fair God. God came to find Hagar, who had fled into the wilderness. Let's look at verses 7 through 8 in today's passage. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" By the spring on the way to Shur. That's the phrase that you see in that passage. And Shur is a desert region between Canaan and Egypt. And the word Shur appears in the Old Testament, like in Exodus. So it's a desert region between Canaan and Egypt. It is clear that Hagar was trying to return to her home country, Egypt. And of course, it's very difficult for pregnant Hagar to go through this desert. God sought out Hagar, who was walking through the wilderness, heading towards Egypt. God came to female slave from Egypt, who was not even from the chosen people of Israel. God listened to her situation in detail. "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And he told Hagar where she should go and what she should do. Now let's look at verse 9 in today's passage. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." God taught Hagar the best path. Hagar could not survive wandering in the wilderness, and moreover, she was carrying a new life within her. "Return to your mistress, God. Go back and submit to her," God said. "Endure and be patient. If you obey, your mistress, Sarai, will also change." God taught Hagar the best way for her to live, and God blessed Hagar. Now let's look at verses 10 through 11. The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." So God said, "You'll have a son and name him Ishmael. The Lord has heard your misery and he will increase your descendants." And the word Ishmael means the God heard your suffering. So God blessed Hagar by saying your descendants will increase in number. God gave Hagar courage when her sorrow was magnified. What great comfort Hagar must have received from these words of God. So God blessed Hagar. Hagar met God at a moment of great crisis and pain in her life, and God sought her out and showed her the way to go and blessed her. And Hagar called this God with a special name. Let's read verse 13 in today's passage. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." The God who sees me. That's what she called God. And that is El Roy in Hebrew. El Roy means the God who sees me. El is God, And Roy means to see or to explore. So Elroy means the God who sees me. Until then, Hagar only recognized the Lord God as Abraham's God and Sarai's God. Hagar thought that God was only with Abraham and Sarai, only sided with Abraham and Sarai, and only stood by Abraham and Sarai and blessed them. That's what Hagar thought. Hagar thought of herself as a lowly person, an abandoned being, and that no matter how hard she tried, her life would not improve or turn for the better because of her slave origin. However, God sought her out and came to her. God found her in crisis, showed her the way to go, gave her comfort and courage, and blessed her. Hagar could not forget the God she met in the wilderness. The moment she encountered this God, her anger towards Sarai subsided and she gained the courage to return to the home she thought she could never go back to. And she called that God El Roy, the God who sees me, the God who sees all of me, my circumstances, sorrow, pain, wandering, crisis, the God who sees everything in detail. So he's the God who sees me, the God who sees everything in detail. So it is El Roy. Now let's read verse 14 in today's passage. That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. Beer Lahai Roy means the well of the living one who sees me. This is where she met God. It's a God who's living. It's a God of Elroy. A God who knows everything about me. The God who seeks me. He was the God who encourages us. So Hagar returned her energy back. To go back. To Sarai. Hagar returned after meeting God. And what happened? Now let's look at verses 15 through 16. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. So Abraham accepted Hagar, and Sarai did too. Everything was restored by the grace of the God who sees. The God of Abraham and Sarai also became Hagar's God. And that God is also your God. The God who sees us, because he sees and examines us. He knows all about us, and he always helps us. I often see a Japanese TV program in South Korea. The two programs. One is dramas. And another program I watch is NHK TV program. I always watch NHK TV program in South Korea. And lots of news, of course, come out and explains the titles of all the things that happened the day before. Of course, doesn't mean I understand everything about Japanese. But I kind of understand what's being said, although the program is in Japanese. Sometimes I feel like I understand everything. One thing I like, there's a program called A Lonely Gome, and also Tsurube's Kazoku ni Kanpai. That's the TV program that he sees. Maybe you don't watch TV too much. And also, I love this program named Hajimete no Otsukai. That, you know, 3-year-old or 4-year-old children go on errands with a mission given by their parents. And oftentimes, mothers look a little bit scary or strict. Because children sometimes do not want to go on errands, but mother have to push them to go on errands. And then the mother explains what the children need to do when they are on errands. For example, go to a meat store, and how many of these croquettes they need to buy, for example. And then go to a supermarket and to buy some special vegetables. So the mother gives special instructions how to do the errands. Maybe the mother may be very strict. That's how, the impression I got. And sometimes children go on errands when it's raining too, according to the TV program. And sometimes children sit down on the sidewalk, or sometimes even take a little nap on the sidewalk. And I saw one scene where the child drags a daikon on the way back home. And every time I watch this program, one thing touches me. And the children, complete their mission, doing their errands. That's when I'm touched. And when they come back to their mother and they hug each other, and I have tears. And another thing I like about that program, it's really touching, is that, and the mother who sent children to this errands is waiting for their children. And sometimes mothers hide themselves and kind of follow their children around while disguising themselves. They hide themselves behind a utility pole sometimes. And the mother is always watching her child. That's how the mother watches us, and that's how God watches us too. God made us his children. God sees us. God watches over us. God knows our sufferings, our pain. God knows our hopes and desires. God knows that we pray and seek His help. God listens to our prayers. God takes care of us. He comforts us. He encourages us. Even if we sit down, He helps us to stand up, and He leads us so that we will be blessed. That's our God. There are many things that we experience in our lives. So please do not think you are alone. Sometimes your spouse may not know you very well. Your parents may not think may not know you very well. Your children may not know you very well, but God knows everything. He will come, run for you. He wipes out our tears. He encourages us. He gives us power. He leads us so that we will have a happy ending. Happy end. He is the God named Elroy. Let me pray.